Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Dizzy Breakdown. I'm Caro.
And I'm Maya. And we're two American friends on opposite coasts who love to break down
and break down over
Turkish TV shows.
Maya, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We survived.
Happy 2022. We're back with episode 3. And, you know, it's been a minute since we recorded that. So I'm glad that all of our listeners are still with us. Thank you. And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah.
So Maya, should we just dive right into what we've been watching lately? I know that both of us have veered on some different paths with what we're watching, but we still have our common thread. I really just want to talk about Yarga to start off with because it's my obsession.
Yeah, Yarga, it's number one for me of all time. It's just so good. And it's really the majority of what it truly is. And honestly, I mean, I haven't watched American TV in a long time and I haven't really been on Netflix. And so it's top of my list right now, unless I can think of something else. So...
No, I'm a little sad for Sia Bea Ash because I know that was top of your list for so long. And maybe it wasn't your number one, but I know it was top on both of our lists that we bonded over. But Yarga is a worthy top show, so I applaud you.
Sia Bea Ash, it was a top Dizzy, but it was also one that I couldn't fully say. It just collectively, all the factors mostly made up what I liked. But like we've said before, it wasn't one I felt like I could recommend. There were still elements of it that I disagreed with.
Oh, for sure.
But it was high up on my Dizzy list. Yarga, though, Yarga, I just love it so much. And episode 14, which was our most recent episode, I know it's very sad and dramatic, but it's up there as one of my new favorite episodes. I just thought it was so well done, and everything that's happened has culminated to their relationship being what it is, that he can be there supporting her and she can accept his support and lean on him. And they've both been through so much, and the case is at a place where, I don't know, it was just perfectly done and perfectly painfully done.
It was incredible. I remember messaging you. You hadn't started it yet. And I was watching it. And the first 10 minutes or so are just brilliant. It's very subtle and quiet, but powerful. Like, I know that sounds kind of weird to say, but it just unfolded really well.
Yeah, at least for me, I was at the edge of my seat. The music was building.
Yes.
And we've watched TV before. We can kind of guess how scenes like this might play out, but just how it would come about and what Ilgaz would do and how he would get to her. Just so well done. Yeah. And I think it took, because I've rewatched a lot of Yarga recently. It takes them 40 minutes for him to find her.
Yeah.
But in those 40 minutes, there's no filler, just anticipation.
No, there's not. It's a very well done episode. And I want to talk about one moment in particular, because I've been wanting to talk to you about this, but I didn't want to write it out. I wanted to actually talk to you about it. The scene where she's in jail and he's sitting on the other side and they're just staring at each other.
Caro, my heart. And his dad comes in to talk to him and he doesn't break eye contact with her.
He doesn't break eye contact.
That whole scene.
With other actors, that scene could have been weird. It could have been creepy. It could have come across differently. It's so emotional. And I fell in love with them all over again. Oh my God, Ilgaz is such a great male character. We just don't deserve him.
He's, we really don't.
Oh, he's everything. I mean, he could have gotten dinner. He could have gone to sleep. Like, he doesn't. He just stays and he stares at her. Sounds creepy, but it's not.
He doesn't change his clothes for 3 days. He's by her side the whole time. That was something else that I noticed. Like, I know that all the scripts go through a lawyer, a police officer, and I don't know if all of them, but at least this one, a therapist. I know Sema and Pinar talked to therapists about how Jalen would handle trauma this way, which shows through so well. But something that kept catching me was from the moment Ilgaz realizes that something is wrong. Like, I'm sure maybe as a prosecutor and working in crime in the capacity that he does, he's had some sort of victim training, like how to be an advocate. But the way he barely touches her, not to stress her out, he explains everything that's going to happen. Very kind of simple, like, this is what we're going to do. I have a yes or no question. Do you want me to call your mom? Are you okay? I'll be right here. And just always narrating what has happened. I was just so impressed with that being included, and just, it was just so well done. I can't say enough about that man.
He did everything right. The reason it's so impressive is if it were me in that situation, I would have done something to screw it up. I don't know. I feel like it takes a very impressive person to have done everything right, which he did. He didn't doubt her. He is by her side. He's gentle with her. there is not one misstep that I can think of that he takes during that whole process. And I think I mentioned this to you when we were chatting a little bit after the episode, where I honestly think the fact that he 100% believes her, has her back, doesn't doubt for one moment, is going to pay off in the long run in their relationship. Like, she's never going to forget that he was by her side. He didn't doubt her. Like, her family kicked her out of the house, doubted her judgment. She sees herself as such a Black character, and he just has this faith in her that, oh, I almost can't wait till this drama's wrapped up, because I'm dying to see how that relationship blossoms because of this.
Right. This was something, I can't take credit for this, but someone else on Twitter pointed this out, where when Jaylen confesses to Ilgaz at the gate in the rain a couple episodes ago, she says, "I'm here. If you're not afraid, I'm not afraid." And I want to believe that Ilgaz at some level also remembered that.
Yeah.
He kept it together knowing what he could do for her. Because I was also thinking, we saw how distraught he was when he destroyed the caravan. I, on the one hand, really admire how calm and collected he was. Part of me was like, if he was gonna lose it before, why not now? But it just shows his professionalism and his skill at his job. And it only really started to crack when he was trying to stay in the room during interrogation, when he was advocating she doesn't have a lawyer, she needs a lawyer.
Oh yeah, that was good.
So I thought, I don't know, there's just part of me thinking, why isn't he more stressed? But also seeing how quietly he was holding himself together, I think it worked. I can't fault any of Sema's decisions so far, and I won't, but I'd be curious to see how long Jaylen is in prison and what that does to Ilgaz, how he can hold himself together in the interim for her, but also for himself.
Mm. The way I see it is that he knew she needed him to be that way, you know? Mm-hmm. When he let himself break down in the caravan, no one was relying on him in that point, so he could break down. He had just, in his mind, lost the woman that he's falling in love with. Now he needed to be strong. So it wasn't an option for him to break down. He had to be there for her because she was broken. You know, she's clearly not the Jaylen we've come to know and love on the show. And I mean, my God, what a job Pinar did in that episode. I mean, she's great always, but she was exceptional. Both Khan and Pinar brought their A game to episode 14. I'm watching the show being like, holy crap, this is so good.
So amazing. And you know, she has what, like 5 lines in that episode? She knocked it out of the park. And we talked a little bit about her family too. It was so interesting that her mom and sister came back around, and in the long run, I'm happy for Jaylen finally, but at the same time, it was so good to see the dichotomy of Ilgaz, who's always been there, always supported her, and then her family comes back. Obviously, they can't lose another person, but her mom's also kind of falling apart, which isn't helpful. It's like, it's not about you. I get it's your child and you lost one, but we need to do what Jaylen needs right now. That moment where it kind of broke my heart when Jaylen ran to hug her mom, you know, she'd been pretty numb for a bit. That was sweet. But part of me is also like, okay, so mom and Island, where were you when she was in the hospital? Like, you didn't know, but you haven't been worried the last few days. Like, oh, is she eating? Where is she sleeping? I don't know, it's just so great to see that. I know that Jaylen's got to have seen Ilgaz. He's been there the whole time. He just wants her to be okay. And he's her family too. And I'm really excited to see if and when he has to interact with her family, with them knowing that he's their son-in-law. I'm very curious to see how that goes down.
That's the part that I liked a lot. It was a very subtle moment. I think I actually missed it the first time and had to go back and rewatch it because it happened so fast, but they hear her last name and I can't wait for that to be explored further on the show. But let me ask you a question, Maya. And for the listeners, keep in mind, we've only seen episode 14 at this point. So if you're listening to this and it's been revealed, don't yell at us. But has your opinion on Zafar changed? Do you think he's alive or dead?
Okay, here's the thing. I don't want him to... Let's see. Since the body disappeared, what I've wanted to happen is that, I mean, he's obviously super weak, and we now know that Dede didn't take him. I want to believe that he escaped and that he's been hurt or sick or recovering somewhere, because I don't want his character on the show, per se, because he was getting in the way. Like, I'm kind of enjoying the Aragavan family dynamic of being mainly the women, Parla and Aylin and Ghul, and I guess Osman's kind of there, but not a lot. So I'm kind of glad that he's not on screen, but having him be dead, what is that gonna do for Jaylen and Ilgaz? They've already lost so much. I mean, I'm so glad Ilgaz doesn't know, and I hope that he doesn't find out until Jaylen does if he is dead.
Agreed.
Realistically, we saw Sardar, Shannara's frenemy, digging him and his buddy, so I don't know if they're trying to trick us and make us think they were burying Zephyr or not. It's probably more likely that he's dead. Also, because Jaylen had that dream in episode 9 with Inji and her dad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that he's dead and that the mystery mm-hmm. is finding the body. But I'm just afraid of what that will do for Jaylen. And again, because I've been rewatching the show a lot lately, her dad isn't a nice person to her. And I understand, you know, you can't choose your family, but he kicks her out of the house. He's complicating everything. He hit Inji when he found out that she was doing drugs. So I don't care about him, but I care about Jaylen. And I'm afraid of what will happen when she finds out. And I know because this is a DZ, there's no way she'll never find out. There's no way it'll just be like, and then they never saw him again and they didn't know.
I mean, some shows do that, and I'm not going to name names.
No.
But this one is the superior show, so I fully agree with you. I hope he's alive just because I don't want him to further complicate the storyline. But my guess is that things will get really good between Ilgaz. Like, she'll get out of jail, things like that. And then her and Ilgaz will be having a moment, and they'll get together for maybe 10 seconds, and then this bomb will break. And then, obviously, Chinar is involved. That's going to create tension. She's going to be devastated. I don't know how Pinar cries on camera so much. I give her props. That's how I see it playing out.
Well, because it's a superior show, I'm just hopeful that, one, they'll get more than 10 seconds together, and two, like, if they can't both be happy, can we level the score and have it be Ilgaz having an issue? I think a big theme of it, too, is that Jaylen's been taking care of her family. Even when her dad was in prison, she was kind of the head of the household as far as finances. She went to school, she was keeping Inji in school and trying to give her a future, too. And then, because her dad wasn't working as much after he came back from prison, she was financially supporting them for a bit. I really love how the show has given her Ilgaz as someone to literally and metaphorically lean on. Mm. And that's been so amazing to watch in the show. But please let them be okay for a bit. And if Zephyr is dead, and when we find out, I hope that she'll retreat into him and not away again.
I agree. I think it's going to depend on how it plays out with Chinar and the role that he had in that. Because, I mean, Zephyr was the one that kidnapped him and was going to kill Chinar. I don't think that should be understated, but it'll just depend on how it unfolds. But as I always say, in Sema we trust.
In Sema we trust. I love that woman.
I do too. But yeah, I mean, I think the break with the show really did happen at a very good time because, you know, it's been the holidays, things have been so busy. And I feel like I can speak for you in this too, where we both get very into what's going on with the show. That for me, at least, it was very nice. Like, if there had to be a 2-week break, that this is when the break happened, because I just love the show so much and I could literally quit my job and just be a full-time Twitter devotee of Yarga.
Honestly, yeah. This was a good spot to pause. Pinar, I'm so glad. It looks like on Instagram today she tested negative and they're back to work. So yeah. Very happy for them. I'm glad that she seems healthy.
Definitely.
I think something that this break has been teaching me too is that I do need to spend less time on Twitter when I don't have a purpose, because the theories are a lot and they're very creative, but I'm stressed out enough about the actual plot of the show. I can also get stressed out about hypotheticals. So...
And I love reading people's theories, because there's so many people that are way smarter than I am that just think about the show in a different way than I do. And I love reading the theories, but I just fall into a black hole.
Yeah. In Sema we trust. In Yarga we trust.
In Yarga we trust.
Yeah, that's been a majority of my Dizzyland time these past couple weeks.
Same. I think it's the only show that I'm watching in real time right now. There's no other show that I'm like, wait, what day of the week is it? But, yeah, and then I also started watching the first episode of Ush Kurush the other day.
Or
yes! Maybe like a week or so ago.
Welcome.
Thank you. I really liked it.
Yes, I'm glad.
I know. I see so much on Twitter. And I'm like, I want to be part of this discussion. I really loved it. I mean, what a charismatic character Kartal is. He's just incredible. Uraz was made for this role. Noodly hair and everything. I just really liked it. I enjoy the characters. I'm very much looking forward to watching more. I plan to devote some time to this show because I really do enjoy it.
Yay! Well, I'm so glad. Welcome to drama season. So excited.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong, I love talking about rom-coms with you, but action, angst, It's just so good, and I'm not gonna be spoilery about it, but episode 9 is the most recent episode. I think they're taking a week off, but that was also an amazing episode.
I heard. Like, the feedback was good.
The feedback was so good, and a lot of what's happened in the prior episodes has built up to this moment, so it felt like the character relationships were where they needed to be for everything to happen, and for both chunks of characters, there was progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna wait until you're more caught up, because there's parts about the plot that I understand objectively are good, but there's parts of it where I personally would like to see more in certain areas and less in others. Mm-hmm. It and Yarga are the only shows I'm watching live right now, though it's annoying that they're one day apart. Like, I wish we could split the week a little bit more.
It's nice that I have so much to watch. I love having shows to watch. I get stressed out when I feel like there's not a lot for me to watch, and then that just causes me to slow down in what I'm watching. I'm very weird in how I watch these shows. You know that.
Yeah. And I'm weird in a different way, so it balances out, I think.
It balances out. But yeah, so those are your two Dizzy's you're viewing these days?
Yeah, there's nothing else. I'm going to start a new show. I haven't decided. I have a couple options, but I definitely want to start a new older show. Something I can binge, something that I know nothing about so I can just be surprised. Because you know I have so much of Kara Sevda I could watch. You know I have Affiliate Oshk to finish. Mm-hmm. I have Kara Para Oshk, which is high on my list, but also I do know some things about it. And so I'm just looking for something that I know nothing about that people on Twitter aren't talking about right now much so I can be totally surprised. So...
Right, yeah. I get that. Well, I look forward to it. I look forward to your choice.
The one show that's currently airing right now that I might start, I should have started it, but I was procrastinating, but I want to watch Evlilik Hakinda Hershe, which is the other lawyer show that Pinar's boyfriend is in.
Oh, right. Yes. Props to saying that title.
Well, it's great on Twitter. People call it EHHS, and I'm like, yep, that's how it's going to be.
That's how it's going to be.
So, I mean... I'm loving this legal show kick, I say as I'm watching just Yarga, but you know, I love learning about the Turkish legal system. That's very fascinating to me. And that show looks like it could be interesting. But again, I don't know if I want to be in another week-to-week situation, because even Uçkuruş is something I kind of wish I could be binging.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a really interesting point, because I'm always debating with myself, are certain shows better as a binge or are they better week-to-week? I was thinking about this today to myself. I honestly think Yarga is better as a week to week. It would be a great binge, but I really think there's so much detail and so much attention to certain small, minute plots that you wouldn't pick up if you were just binging it straight through. You just wouldn't have the time to stop and think about each episode, which is a masterpiece on its own. And then there's other shows that I truly believe are better as a binge. I don't know if I would have liked Kiralik Ashk as much as I did if I watched it week to week.
Oh yeah, if I'd been watching Kiralik Ashk week to week, I would have quit. I know that for a fact. And to your point, I totally agree. There are some shows that are written to be savored and to be picked apart. Mm. And a lot of them are dramas. There are some dramas that are more fun, I think, to binge. There are also some dramas that aren't as well written. I think it depends on the writing. And I'm not going to say every rom-com, but again, with rom-coms and shows that have more filler or just a lot of characters and they're more setting based than plot based. And I know that I do skip a lot in certain shows, but I think the less content there is to skip, you know, the less bingeable it is. Like Kuzgun, that one was hard because I was like, oh wait, I actually have to watch 2.5 hours of content.
Right.
I can't watch this in 45 minutes.
I know. As you know, I've restarted Kuzgun literally just this morning. I woke up and was like, I feel like watching Barish. Like, I miss him. And I finished Beyanlish. So I was like, I'm going to do Kuzgun. And I watched it in bed a little bit on my iPad this morning. And then tonight, as we were chatting before we started recording this, I was watching it on the TV in my living room. And I want to dawdle on my phone when I'm on my couch. And I was like, no, Caroline, you are missing things. And I had to stop and rewind it because, like you just said, you really have to understand almost everything that they're saying to really get the full picture of the show. There's not a lot of filler. And I'm really starting to become obsessed with it, which is nice because I really would love to finish the show. So yeah, there's certain shows that just, I think Kuzgun would have been better as a week to week. I think Kara Sevda is better as a week to week. Shows that, you know, there's a lot to them. They're very complicated and have very strong plots. And that's not to take away from the sillier rom-coms. I mean, Kiralik Ashk still to this day is my number one show. I love that show. I will love it till the day I die. But it's a rom-com. It's fun. It's lighthearted. And not every scene is super important.
Exactly. And I think that's the importance of genre, too. Because Kiralik Ashk is a really good rom-com. And it's stood the test of time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, part of it is to entertain and be funny and just make you feel good. A lot doesn't have to be happening. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, yeah, shows like that, they know what they're...
They know what they're about.
Yeah, they know what they're about. And they don't have to be super dense and complex. Mm-hmm. And they can still be bingeable. A good binge is still well-made TV.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yes. But I know in my odyssey of watching Kara Sevda, which I'm currently on around episode 71 of 74, there have been times where I had to stop watching. Just be like, this is really heavy. I need to take a break. I'm just going to put this down and I'm going to pick it up later. Because it's a very dark show. It's an excellent show. And I never thought I would like it as much as I have found myself liking it. There's a reason people love this show. Khan is so good in it. Oh my God. I joke with you online where I just literally watch it and I'm just like, oh, Khan, you're just so good. You're such a good actor. As I say to nobody but my TV screen. But yeah, apart from Kara Sevda, like I said, I finished Beyanlish, which I really enjoyed. Highly recommend. Very enjoyable rom-com. And then Kuzgun, really. So that's what I've been watching. Kuzgun, I'm on episode 11 right now.
Oh, such a good episode.
Obsessed with Dilla and Kuzgun. They are sizzling. They're married, but they're not together yet. But oh, when she thought he died. Oh my God. It was so good.
And the hospital scene, the hospital episode. And he's handed her ring and it has his name in it. Ugh.
It's really good. It's an incredible show. So expect me to be talking about that one in our future episodes.
Yes. I'm really excited for us to do our Kuzgun episode.
Me too. Once I finish it.
I'll be here.
I know. But Maya, should we get into the topic of today's podcast?
Yes. So as you've probably seen from the title, this episode, we've decided to cover Adam Masala.
Yay!
Which is a show that you and I both watched this summer. And we figured as it ended recently and the summer is very much over, now would be a good time to cover it on the podcast.
And you and I just finished it too, so we thought it would be a good time, while it's fresh in our minds, to discuss it.
Exactly. Yeah, we separately but together procrastinated the last couple episodes. Like, I finished it today.
And I finished it 2 days ago.
But yeah, it was a big part of the summer for this Disney season, so we wanted to give it a shout out.
Yeah, give it its due.
So before we get started, for the shows that we break down, ideally, we like to start out with a little bit more unspoilery content, just giving an overview of what the show is about. So I tried to come up with an original summary for the show, but then I realized there's just so many moving parts, especially in the beginning. So I borrowed what DizzyLaw.com had to say and edited it slightly.
To sum it up, the show is really about Hazaran, who is a smart and successful businesswoman. She's devoted to her career and the fast-paced lifestyle of Istanbul, which I actually kind of forgot that in the beginning of the show, she really loved her city life and it was a huge change for her. Just goes to show the trajectory of the storyline. But anyway, she can't imagine any other life. But when her company sends her to the remote Aegean island to clear the way for a new resort, one mistake changes her life forever. Poyraz is a simple man who's drawn to nature more than people. Known and respected by the islanders, he enjoys the peace and quiet of his small olive oil factory, which sits on a beautiful patch of land. Unfortunately, that's exactly where Hazaran's company wants to build its resort.
Sparks fly when Hazaran and Poyraz meet, and the two opposites begin to fall for each other. But this all happens before Hazaran realizes it's Poyraz's land that her boss sent her to get. So without knowing all of the lives she's about to change, Hazaran makes a perilous error. And before long, Poyraz's factory is shut down, his dreams go up in smoke, and the whole town faces an uncertain future. Meanwhile, Hazaran's own life turns upside down when her mother falls in danger of losing the family home and the final memory of her deceased father. To make things right, Hazaran must team up with Poyraz so they can build their own boutique hotel in order to save the olive oil factory as well as Hazaran's childhood home. In a story where opposites attract, Adam Masala tells the story of two lost souls who are able to find some common ground between city and nature as well as find each other.
Adam Masala is a summer Dizzy that premiered on Show TV on June 15th and ended after 25 episodes on December 11th, 2021. Maya, was this characterized as a rom-com or just a romantic drama? Because I don't remember laughing that much in the first few episodes. I know shows change as they do, but I would not characterize this as a rom-com. But what do you think?
I think technically it was considered a rom-com, which is why we had Sadek and Gorkem and those characters. But at its core, it was very much more of a romantic drama.
Like a mature rom-com.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of liked it more than a lot of other rom-coms, because the comedy had its place and was contained to certain characters, and Haziran and Poyraz didn't really get roped into the comedy moments like some leads do.
Yeah.
Which can work depending on the story.
Absolutely, yeah.
So whatever genre this technically was, I enjoyed how they positioned themselves within that and how it focused way more on the love story and the beautiful surroundings than normal gags, just because.
Because, I mean, the island itself is almost a character on the show. It plays such a central role of the plot that that's what I loved about it so much. It's just beautiful. It's a really pretty location.
Truly. And I've said this every episode so far, but again, just so much wanderlust, so much travel wish fulfillment is coming out of this show.
I believe it's in Izmir. They filmed it in Izmir.
Yeah, somewhere nearby.
It's a fictitious island.
Yes.
But it's stunning. I would like to vacation there. That looks beautiful in the summertime.
Yeah. As far as ratings go, it had decent ratings. They were, for a while, especially near the end, on the lower side. But also because it sounded like it was a pretty shoestring budget production, it kind of just chugged along with a slow decline throughout its run.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that it had a very low budget, which is interesting because you would assume something that takes place on location in Izmir versus Istanbul would have maybe a higher budget. Because I was upset that Bat Ayuno got canceled so much further in advance than Atamasala, but the ratings for the two shows were very similar. I liked both of them. In the summertime, these were shows I would wait every week to watch. So I was very upset when Bat Ayuno got canceled. I mean, not that I wanted Atamasala to get canceled, but they were so similar in ratings.
There was so much competition on Tuesdays where Atamasala originally aired.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't expect much. And also, it's a rom-com. It's a summer show, so the ratings aren't generally as high. But yeah, it chugged along.
Until it didn't. I agree with you. I think that the ratings just slowly declined, but was able to last so long because of the low production value. And I don't think we should discount that the show is very popular. The actors have a lot of fans and the couple has a big fan base. So it's not surprising that it was able to chug along for as long as it did.
Speaking of our main actors, as everyone who has eyes and has heard anything about Atamasala knows, we have two amazing leads. Something that I found interesting while watching was that it has a very large ensemble cast, which, not that other shows don't do this, but it was interesting to see how there were so many characters that had a nice chunk of screen time in every episode. But it is a love story, and we had two main leads.
Right.
So our female lead is Aisha Aishin Turan, who plays Haziran. She did such a great job with this show. Not that I thought about other actresses, but I can't see anyone else playing this character the way she did. She took Haziran and made such a dimensional character. She's a gorgeous woman. Every time I look at her, even before I'd ever seen her in anything, I just thought she looked like a mermaid. So having her in this island show, just, it felt right.
She's beautiful. And her abs, like, she makes me want to work out more.
Right?
Goals.
When I was watching, I think the first episode, when she's in her corporate life for a second.
Business suit, crop top.
Business suit, crop top. I make fun of it every time it happens, because truly, who's going to work in a blazer and a crop top? But it was bring your abs to work day.
It was.
And she delivered, so I can't even fault her for it.
If I had abs like that, I might wear a business suit crop top too. I'm not gonna lie.
Truly, truly. Love her as our Haziran. As an actress, it sounds like she was interested in acting from a really young age, and her first screen credit was in 2007. She got her first leading role in 2016 and went on to star in a lot of shows that are still talked about and around today, including Meryem, which is on my list, The Protector, which was Netflix's first Turkish original show, and that's a huge career move.
It is, yeah.
So, really proud of her. And the more I've watched her in things, it makes me consider actually watching The Protector, because it is also on my list.
I watched the first episode a while back.
Oh, really?
It's very supernaturally, which is not my favorite, but I wanted to see the lead actor in something. People talk very highly of him. It was good. It's probably something I could get into if I didn't have 90,000 other Turkish shows I wanted to watch.
Yeah, it was the supernatural element that kept me out. But now that I know so many of the actors that are in it and want to support her too. So yeah, she's in The Protector. She's in Zemheri, which is a short-run show, but I think Sema also wrote that.
Ooh, we might have to watch that
one. We might have to. I don't know if it's very good. Sorry to the fans, but she was in that.
Well, if anyone recommends it, let us know. Tweet us and push us to watch it.
Definitely. She was also in Ariza, which is, I believe, a 2020 show. Also a cool mafia show. And now, finally, she's been in Ara Masala this year. And she earned a Golden Butterfly Award for Best Actress in a Romantic Comedy for Ara Masala.
So it is a rom-com.
I guess it is. There we go.
I remember, because she dedicated it to her dad, who had just passed away.
Yeah, that was so sad, because I think it was between episode 21 and them shooting 22, where her dad passed away, and she was gone for a couple days, but then she came back and was just so professional and went on with the show. And
that's got to be really hard to do.
My heart goes out to her. I think she deserved the recognition, and good for her. We stan Aicha in this house.
We stan Aicha. She's amazing as Hazaran.
And then, of course, it wouldn't be a rom-com without our male lead, Alp Navruz, who plays Poyraz.
I'm laughing because Maya and I will often send each other his Instagram posts just because he loves the selfies.
Well, that's the thing. I think to be a good actor, you have to take yourself at least a little bit seriously. And I think my brain just conflates Poyraz and Alp sometimes. Where I'm like,
yes.
Alp seems so down to earth. And then you see his social media and you're like, maybe not. But he's got good things going for him. He's an attractive guy. He's got his sponsorships.
Oh, got it.
He's got his extra captions that he feels the need to share with the world. And I wish him on his way.
Keep the selfies coming, Alp.
From my Wikipedia research, it also sounds like he loved acting from a young age, but he made his cinematic debut more recently in 2016. He's acted in popular shows such as Aşk Laftan Anlamaz, which is one of Hande's early shows with Burak Deniz.
An eye on my list.
He was also in Fazilet Hanım ve Kızları, which I only wanted to bring up because, Caro, that is what your husband Çağla is in.
Yep, Çağla is in that, and it's also high on my list because I love him. And I love how he supports Alp and likes just about every one of his Instagram posts. I stan a good friend.
Your man loves social media.
He does. He's very supportive.
Alp's big breakthrough was as the lead in Elimi Barakma, where he starred opposite Alina Baz. And that's a show I've heard a lot about. I've seen it around. And to my knowledge, it's probably why he's most well known, at least outside of Ara Masala.
Which makes sense. But switching gears a little bit, Maya, I want you to talk a little bit, because I'm interested to hear about this too. There's a little bit of debate as to like when Alp and Aicha met and how they kind of knew each other before the show. And talk a little bit about that, because I want to know what you found out.
Yeah, this is a story that I'm very fascinated by. And I will preface this by saying this is all hearsay. A lot of this is rumor. This is inference on the fans' part. But what seems to have happened is that the two of them both attended a film premiere in 2017. And they didn't speak to each other, but they were in the same space and closer in each other's orbit than they've ever been in the entertainment industry. Fans of Alp noticed that he followed her on Instagram after that night, but then later unfollowed her because she didn't follow back, which awkward.
Aww.
But I don't know. It's alleged, and fans think that maybe he had a bit of a crush on her then. But again, this is all hearsay and anyway. But 4 years later, the two of them, again, they're in very similar circles, but never really came together. And it's rumored that Alp was offered the leads for both Bat Oyunu and Ara Masala.
I cannot picture him as Boya.
I don't think he would have fit in that story as well. Who knows?
That's interesting.
But yeah, he was offered both roles and turned down Bat Oyunu and chose Ara Masala, knowing that Aicha would be the female role, which I think is really sweet. After they started working together and they'd been caught in different paparazzi interviews, they both said that they, for the longest time, thought the other was kind of a cold, aloof celebrity personality.
Mm-hmm.
But they officially met and got to know each other and their energies matched and they got along really well. And I just think that's such a sweet story of the stars aligning for them to meet. Who knows how much of it is true and how much they really thought about each other in that interim. But I like the idea that there was a time and a place for them to meet and work together and become so close.
Right.
I was rewatching translated Instagram lives from when they were on set for Ara Masala. They're so adorable.
They are. They fit really well together. Their personalities, their looks, they're just so pretty.
They are.
Beautiful people.
If this is their story and this is how it goes, I love it. If not, it's a nice story.
We support either way.
Speaking of support.
like that segue.
Ana Masala, while it is a love story, does have a lot of supporting characters. Caro, did you want to talk about some of the supporting cast?
I would love to. Yeah, so like Maya had mentioned, Ana Masala has a pretty broad range of supporting characters. We're not going to go into all of them, but as I was watching this show, I had never seen Alp or Aicha in anything else.
Me neither.
But I have seen some of the previous shows from some of the other supporting characters. So Hazaran's mother, Zeynep, who's played by Ipek Tinoje, she was in Erkenzi Kush, and she's very recognizable to me because she played Janyaman's mother on that show. Her character's so similar to the character she plays in Ana Masala. She starts off as a plot device to keep the main couple apart for really no reason other than she just doesn't like them.
Interesting.
Just the other day, I had this light bulb moment where I realized that Idil in Ana Masala, played by Beryl Ozam, was in Afili Ashk. She played Burju Özberk's character's sister-in-law. And I mean, Afili Ashk is one of my low-key favorites because obviously it has Çağla in it. But she looks so different. She's dressed so different. She acts so different. But it was like that light bulb moment. And I messaged my immediately and was like, oh my God. And she was like, yeah, I'm that.
No, what's funny is that like 2 days before that, I'd had a light bulb moment because I was thinking, I've never seen any of these actors in anything else. And I was thinking through all the characters. And then for some reason, Afili Ashk was also on my mind.
It should always be on your mind, Maya.
Yeah, that's nice. We're not the same. Unfortunately for you, it is not. But for some reason, that day it was.
Fair.
Somehow my brain made the connection that she is the sister-in-law, who's such a wildly different character.
Wildly different character.
And I thought it was so funny. And I was going to try and surprise you with that fact on the podcast. And then you just messaged me about it. I was like, all right.
My brain magically decided to work the other day. And I was like, oh my God, I do know her.
We're in sync.
We are. And it's funny because Idil is one of those characters where I don't think you're supposed to like her at first. She's obviously one of the antagonists on the show, but I came to really enjoy her on the show as the show progressed and she stopped being a foil for the romantic interest between Poyraz and Hazaran, and she got her own storyline with Batu. So I like her as an actress. I hope to see her in some other things. I think Beryl did a great job as Idil.
Yeah, it sounds like there is a new show coming out with her as the lead. It was just announced recently.
Which makes sense. I hope that's why she had to leave Ana Masala so quickly, because she did not make it to the end.
Almost, but she's intriguing. She's on my list of people to watch.
Yeah. And then finally, there's Aunt Aliye, played by Dia Anair. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's how I'm going to say it. Who was in Para Para Ash, which is another one of my favorite shows. She played Fatma on the show, who was the lead character, Omar's almost mother-in-law. She was a very annoying character, if I can be so blunt, in an otherwise amazing show. So, I mean, the actress is really great at playing a plot device that keeps main couples apart on shows. When I saw at least the first two characters, when I saw Zeynep and Aunt Aliye, I was like, oh my God, I know them. And I get excited when I know people because I feel like I'm still very much a newbie with Turkish shows, having just started in 2020. So I get very excited when I see recurring characters.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad that someone knew some people. It was interesting because this show takes place on a remote island and it felt like all these actors were all pretty new to me. I'd obviously heard of Aicha and Alp, but the rest of them all felt so new and so removed from other Dizzies, both geographically and with the cast. So
yeah,
it was cool that you were able to find some connections.
Yeah. So Maya, why don't you tell me, how did you get into the show? What made you want to watch? Because we didn't really talk about it. We just both watched it. I don't think either of us pushed the other,
no.
Which is unusual. Usually it's you pushing me and bullying me into watching shows.
I do it with love.
But you didn't this time around.
This one was interesting because in the spring leading up to it, Bat Oyunu was the show I wanted to watch. It was the one I cared the most about. I saw the trailers. I was ready for rom-com season. It was going to be cool.
It's just funny to hear you say that because I know you and I know you don't love rom-com.
Hey, ready for it rom-com. Was a dark year, okay? Even I was like, all right, let's do this. I want the biggest conflict to be something so dumb. Let's do this. But yeah, so Bat Oyunu was a show that was going to be my summer show. That was the one I was going to fall into. And there were other things floating around, but I knew it was going to be that one I would start. And I wasn't going to watch Ana Masala. I didn't really know the actors. I didn't have a connection. And there wasn't any pull for me to watch the show. I will say that when the teaser came out, which is just them on the sunset on the beach, I was like, I mean, I'm not opposed. It looked pretty. already. Mm. And then, Caro, have you heard of the show Mena Jeremy Ara?
Yes, I have. I don't know much about it, but I've heard of it.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little tangent about that show.
Okay.
So Mena Jeremy Ara, hopefully I'm saying that close to right, is a remake. There is a French show called 10% or 10%, which is on Netflix, and the English title of it is Call My Agent. And it is a show about talent agents who work with actors to get them roles. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular French show. It's done well on Netflix with English subtitles. And so this show is a Turkish remake of it. And I find it ironic that they've done the Turkish title in honor of the English translation of the French title, which I thought was funny. Impressive. So it's the same premise, and I have not watched the Turkish version or really much of the French version either. I've just seen bits of it. But because it is about talent agents and actors, what they did with Adem Asali, and I think they did it with other shows, is that they had Ayça and Alp in the spring come on the show as themselves and audition and read for the show and eventually decide to be on Adem Asali. It was kind of a way to get Dizzy fans excited about a new real show in the context of this fictitious talent agent show.
Interesting.
So they're on for an episode and they have a couple of clips and it's them as if they're meeting for the first time and deciding to be on the show. And I thought that was fascinating. I loved the meta in that.
That is interesting. In American TV shows, they've done something similar, like when a show spins off and things like that. Concept's not new, but I did not know that they were on that show as themselves. That's very interesting.
I saw that and I thought that was a brilliant idea. So my interest was piqued again. But then, so this is something that I'm going to be honest straight up. I don't have a ton of information on. And because I didn't save posts back in the day, I can't really fact check this now. But there was also rumors going around right before the show came out about how the plot was plagiarized and about how it was going to be a movie that was in production and that the network ripped it off and was, you know, there was an author behind it where it was going to be a book and then a movie that was in pre-production and then this show came along and just made it. Hmm. I don't have a way of fully confirming if that's what happened. I don't know if this was some sort of fan slander attempt for whatever reason before the start of the show. I don't know anything, but that is something that was on my radar when the show was about to come out. And for me, I'm such a fan of book authors and just protecting creative work that I was like, that's disappointing. I'm sad they would do that. It looks like a really pretty show though. So again, I wasn't gonna watch. But then on the Tuesday that the show was airing, I was messing around on Twitter and people were live tweeting their reactions and I saw images and I said, I'm gonna try it. I'm not gonna give in to all of this hearsay and all of these rumors that I don't know anything about. I'll watch it. I will make a decision for myself. And if and when something else comes out of the story from a movie, if anything comes to light, I'll do my best to support the original creators as well. Like that was how I justified that. Mm-hmm. And after that, it all kind of went away. So again, I don't know if it was rumors. I don't know if there was an agreement made. I don't know if we've all collectively decided to just go with it. And also to be clear, I don't fault the actors involved in the project for taking it if it was not something that should have been made. It is what it is. But again, that didn't influence my decision, which is why I brought it up. But anyway, I watched it the day it aired. I watched it that night. And I really did fall in love with the concept and kind of the dreaminess of the show and just a different angle of romance that wasn't super rom-com, super gag focused. Mm-hmm. It was just a different kind of show. And so I really enjoyed the first episode and was curious to see where it was going and thought I would add it to my rotation. And so I did. And I watched mostly weekly for most of the run of the show. Mm-hmm. What about you? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I had an opposite approach where I had seen pictures of it on the internet and, you know, it's a very attractive cast, beautiful scenery, very pretty. You've talked about the wanderlust aspect of it. It seemed like a very easy show to watch. So it was probably the summer show that I wanted to watch the most. I was not interested in Bat Oyono. I was not interested in Aşkman Tikintikam. This and Cam Tavanlar were the two shows that I liked and wanted to watch the most of. Cam Tavanlar obviously lasted 8 episodes. I enjoyed all 8 episodes, but I digress. So this was my number one. I was very excited about this one. And especially the moment I remember the most is the trailer where Hazaran is teaching Poyraz to smile to attract hotel guests. I just really love that trope when grumpy meets sweet and the sweet sees the heart of gold in the grump and has to pull that out. I love that. So I knew that this was going to be right up my alley in terms of a show that I was going to like and enjoy. And I did. Honestly, this was a week-to-week show for me where I was very excited. I wouldn't watch it that day. It aired on Tuesdays. I wouldn't watch it until Wednesday, but I was pretty devout about watching it. I loved it. I mean, it was a really great show while it was good. I mean, I think we can talk a little bit later about the downfalls of the show, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've said this in previous episodes of our podcast that the show doesn't have to work that hard to be good because you've got really nice scenery. You've got pretty cast. You just need a basic plot to move it through. And a lot of the other things take care of the filler. So just put Alp and Aicha walking on a beach together and I'm going to love it. So it was enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
So I teased a little bit about what the show didn't do well, but before we get into the negatives, Maya, tell me a little bit about why you think the show was so popular and what it did well.
Definitely. And I know I've already said this a bunch, but again, it was just a really strong romantic story. It really was centered around the two leads and them getting together and the conflicts that were keeping them apart. The chemistry between the two characters, between the actors, the acting, even for the side characters, even for the goofy characters, it's very much a character-driven show. Mm-hmm. As you've said, the island is its own character. Right. I thought it was amazing. I think they did a really good job. And it's a summer rom-com, so the bar doesn't have to be super high. Mm-hmm. And yet it felt well made. The cinematography was very beautiful.
It was, yes.
All of the different landscape shots.
Oh, the sunset shots.
Yeah, and just the coloring and the tropes they use, especially in the first dozen episodes. Again, I'm not a rom-com person generally. I'm not a Hallmark movie person at all, but
it was a feel-good show.
It was a feel-good show. And the grumpy sunshine, we gotta start an intro.
Oh god, I love that.
For once, I was all in. Maybe just because it was a Turkish show. It just felt new and different. And even if it wasn't, it just felt good. And it made me feel like I was going on a trip that I wish I could go on in real life. Mm-hmm. For the first few episodes, I jokingly referred to it as Mamma Mia the Dizzy. Just for the aesthetics. It just had an amazing, lighthearted vibe. But then as the story goes on, it is a lot more of a Pride and Prejudice dynamic. And as all of those factors, you can't really go wrong with a summer show that has romantic stakes, mm-hmm. but at the same time, is just a love story you want to watch unfold.
Yep. And it had that same plot line that most rom-coms have. I don't say that in a negative way. It's familiar. And it's almost comforting in that, you know, there's that big secret, which is that Haziran was the one that spoiled Poyraz's finances and the bank called in the loan. And we're all waiting for that ball to drop when Poyraz is going to find out. It was comforting in the familiarity of the plot line for those episodes. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And I loved the city girl versus the boy from the island dynamic. Mm. I loved too that Haziran, I mean, there were small moments of it, but there wasn't a lot of ew, gross, island things. It was just a cultural difference. It was a difference in lifestyle. It was coming to an understanding. And I liked that she tried. And like you said, with the secret, it was a familiar trope, mm-hmm. but I love how they went about it because we feel bad for Haziran pretty immediately.
Right.
Like, you can say what you want about Haziran as a character, whether you liked her, whether you not, if you took a side. I wasn't someone who really took sides in it, but that girl is a trier.
Yeah.
Even if she didn't succeed, she tried so hard. She wanted to have things in hand. She was like, oh, I have a connection to this island. There's a way I can have this land. I'll start a hotel. I'll pay back my debt. Maybe he'll never know, but I don't like that I hurt someone. And I thought that was really compelling. It didn't feel sleazy or just her wanting to get away from her mistake.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't her staying on the island because she liked him and wanted to still be around him. Yeah, there was a little bit of that, but she really wanted to make up for her mistake without him finding out and hating her. She wanted to try to make it right. And I support that. I appreciate that.
And then it didn't help that she's falling in love with him, but trying not to because she doesn't feel worthy of it. He's falling for her, but doesn't want to because he has his own issues about being abandoned and thinking that they're too different. Mm-hmm. And all of those factors together with the chemistry that Alp and Aicha had just worked so well.
Creates a compelling show. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think some of my favorite moments from the show, like we just said, I really liked the early episodes with Poyraz and Haziran. I, being a lover of all things romantic on these shows, I appreciated the will they, won't they, even though we all know that they will. It's just a matter of time. One scene that sticks out for me in particular is when Poyraz is taking those photographs of Haziran, and was it the lavender field? It was beautiful. I know I keep saying that, but it's just a stunning show. And even after they got together, the water scenes where he's teaching her how to swim, and when Hazuran thought Poyraz forgot her birthday, but he didn't, and he creates this beautiful seaside dinner for them. Oh, it was just stunning. I will miss them. Like, now that we're kind of talking about it, I will say they were such a good couple on the show. They're a really good rom-com couple.
They're a comfort couple.
They're a comfort couple. I even came to enjoy Adil and Batu. Out of nowhere, this ship came along that I got on board and sailed with. Like, I just really enjoyed their crazy. I mean, I disliked both of them when they both came on the show, and I probably disliked Adil for longer. But by the end, I was rooting for them, and I'm still upset that we really didn't get any closure in terms of that, but I digress. I also really liked Gorkum and Sadik's friendship. I mean, if this weren't a Turkish show, I would have said that they might have had something more than a friendship, but because this is a Turkish TV show, they became kind of like the odd couple in terms of friends, and I liked that.
The heavy implications, and it was nice to have the humor anchored in them,
yeah.
Especially because they weren't necessarily around the A storyline and the lead characters a lot. Yeah. It was nice to have those little lighthearted bickering moments to cut to.
I agree. Yep. What about you? What are some of your favorite moments?
I mean, there are a lot, but again, they're just such a comfort ship. It was a good show. And really, it was the main couple. It was Poyraz. It was them together. And then at the same time, seeing Ayça and Alp behind the scenes, their Instagram lives were so adorable. The way their friendship developed, It just had a feel-good atmosphere all around. It was really nice to look forward to every week. Some scenes in particular. I mean, her conquering the fear of the ocean that day where it's the anniversary of her father's death, which again is so sad thinking of Aicha's dad actually passing away during the run of the show.
Oh, I know.
So part of me is so glad that they got to film this scene before that. Yeah. I wouldn't want to put her through that. But I think that's one of my favorite scenes in the show, of her on the beach, not able to reconcile. Like, she's finally happy. She's had such a lonely life with kind of an absent mother. She's been so career focused, just always moving, always trying to be positive and grow. But then being at the island and having this time of calm and actually being happy, she forgets something that's very important to her, and she feels guilty about it. And he's there, and he wants to be there for her, and he wants to make it better. And for him, he's like, I want you to love the ocean. The ocean is where I grew up. It's a big part of me, and I don't want you to hate it because I love you and you're important to me, but you're also in pain. And I don't know, that whole scene was so beautiful and so well done. Very much top of my list as a favorite. And then you add the behind the scenes of that, of the two of them being so cute on a night shoot.
I know. I wish there was more behind the scenes content, because I would have really enjoyed so much more of it.
They're so good on and off screen. Such a great time for me this summer. Another scene was in, I believe, episode 14, when they have to break up. To keep their families happy, they realize that they have to actually break up, and it's raining and they're fighting, but they're not. They're trying to justify to each other and themselves why it's better that they're apart, and they're upset, and then they have their last kiss in the rain. It's very heartbreaking, but so well done.
And the music, don't forget that music, this like really dramatic, beautiful song. I loved it, and I actually added it to my Spotify playlist, but then I was listening to it one day and I was like, this is too dramatic for my everyday listening. I can't do it.
Yeah. And it was one of those where I love a good achy scene, but at the same time, you know it's not gonna last. You know that they're not gonna ever not see each other again.
Yeah. Because
the next scene, they're still working together. Like, all right, the drama.
I know. If I'm being honest, it was a little too over the top for me. I mean, it was very dramatic. They both love each other. They're only breaking up because their families are being a pain in the butt. Kudos to them for doing it.
If they were gonna have to break up, I'm glad they did it that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's still up there for me. Another one that I don't know if this is a popular choice, but the episode and the scene where it's that interesting woven together plot of Aliateze has woken up to Haziran's confession. So now Aliateze hates Hazuran. Poyraz doesn't know yet. Hazuran is in love with Poyraz, and They're finally at a point where he's opening up to her. He's in. He wants to be with her. Hazuran is ready to be there for him. He steps out for a minute. Aliateze comes and crushes Hazuran's hopes, makes her feel guilty. She leaves. She goes to the hotel and she sits in the photo booth that he built for her and she just sobs. And he comes back and he's angry, like, I opened up to you. And he's right, like, he did open up to her. Yeah. She can't just ghost him like that. But you've seen Hazran and you've seen how upset she is. And again, because he didn't know her secret yet, they can't have been together. Like, it wouldn't have worked for them to be together at that point. I knew that as it was happening. And then a few episodes later, when Barak, who's like Loki, one of my favorite characters.
You're Loki. I can't believe we haven't mentioned him until just now, because he is low-key your favorite. And when you first told me about him, I had to Google it because I was like, I don't know who you're talking about.
I don't know why. I was obsessed. He was a great side character. I love the quiet guy. He was just kind of like, all right, I don't have a ton of ambition. I'm just here, like this hotel. And then suddenly he's in the background, like Horaz and Haziran's number one fan. He quietly keeps the show running.
He really does. He is the in front of the scenes, but behind the scenes guy who really keeps everything going. I'm not gonna lie, I low-key was hoping for him and Nahir to have something by the end. Just what? Because I would have shipped it.
I just liked him as a low-key guy in this drama-filled hotel and all of these relationships. I just liked him being a rock there. He was very much top character for me outside of the mains.
I'm just saying, Nahir would have done well to be with Barak over Okan. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I have thoughts on that for later. But yeah, just Barak, my guy, coming in to save him. Couple episodes after, he comes up to Poyraz with the discarded photo booth photos.
Oh, yeah.
And Poyraz gets to see Hazran sobbing, and you know, there's a lot of episodes early on, especially where he's mad at her because that's his only way of coping with being hurt. And like, I get it 98% of the time. There was a point where I was like, my guy, just stop. It was just one of those scenes where Turkish shows do better than American shows, I think. But even still, there's often times where you don't see both of the characters get up to speed.
Yeah.
I love when characters are on the same page. So him getting to witness that moment, even if it's after the fact, I thought that was really powerful.
It was nice. Yeah.
But it was just a really beautiful scene that made it to one of my favorites.
Well, it's nice that it had payoff in that he did see the photo. I mean, they could have done with just having her cry and not having that photo and then the truth comes out later. But it was nice that there was a little bit of payoff and it comes full circle with, you know, they're in the photo booth that had other meaning, but it took the photo. He saw her crying. I love how that played out. That's also a top moment for me. I like that a lot.
And it was good for Poyraz to see, because we've been with Hazran the whole time as viewers. We see how hard she's trying and how much guilt she feels about what she's done and the snowball effect it's had. And so at least Poyraz getting physical proof that she wasn't being callous with his heart. She wasn't trying to ghost him. She did have a reason, and she's also just as hurt and just as sad as he is. I think that's so powerful. And I think that's a moment that a lot of stories gloss over. Over, like, oh, they've forgiven each other, they're fine now.
Yeah.
So like you said, I really enjoyed that payoff.
Yeah. I mean, the show obviously was very successful. It ran for 25 episodes. It did a lot of things right, and it did a lot of interesting storylines, but it wasn't always hitting the mark. So there are some things, I think, that the show missed the mark on. So, you know, to switch gears a little bit, why don't we talk about some of the things that we were less than thrilled with. For me, it really kind of happened around, I want to say episode 15-ish, when Hazran decided to leave the island. And there was some back and forth whether she was going to leave the island. She was going to go to Japan first. And then she didn't go to Japan. Then she decided she was going to get a job on the mainland. And that, for me, I think, and I'm not positive what episode that mark is really where the show seemed to become very unsure of itself. And perhaps, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a couple different writers, right, Maya, the show went through?
Yeah. To build off of that, it was the plot. Like, yes, it's a character-driven show, but the first dozen or so episodes, it had a plan and it had a pretty solid plot as far as rom-coms go. Mm-hmm. There's a secret, there are different characters with different agendas, this relationship is forming, but all the cards aren't on the table yet. That was really great. And so once we lost that,
yeah,
it did feel like it fell apart. I could be wrong, but from what I noticed, there were at least three different sets of writers over the course of the show.
And that's tough. It's really hard to keep consistency when you have different writers joining, you know, with their different points of view.
Exactly. It's not like the writers are supposed to be clones of the original writers. That's part of their job. They want to bring their own stamp to the show that they're working on and show what they can do. What's hard is when writers come on to a show that they didn't start, and I don't know what the handoff process is. I don't know if the original writing setup said, these are the beats we've set you up to hit. I don't know what that process is, but it was just hard to see how the writers didn't have the same priorities for the characters, or didn't remember, or didn't have any interest in following up on the earlier plots that had been teed up. So yeah, I agree. It starts to fall apart, and the show doesn't quite know what it wants to be. So while I am glad for the actors and for the creators' success, I'm glad that it did get 25 episodes. For what it was, I don't think it should have had 25 episodes. Mm-hmm. If they dug into a lot of the original ideas and expanded on more of the interconnected plots,
yeah,
there was so much room for them to have content for 25 episodes. But what they chose to focus on really didn't give us the kind of content that the show was built for.
Yeah.
And yet somehow they kept churning out these 2.5 hour episodes of almost nothing.
I know. They were all really long. Yeah. And for me, I think a lot was there in terms of the hotel. Like, they're running a hotel. There's so many things you can do with that. You could have different guest issues. You could have management issues. There's a lot that you could do with that. But I feel like after episode 10, 15-ish, the hotel just became a place sometimes where they would talk in, but it really didn't become a focal point of the plot. And also, one of my biggest gripes of the show is, in my opinion, the boring supporting cast. I mean, Alp and Aicha did such a great job as Poiraz and Haziran. I loved most of their scenes. They really kept me watching the show. I was so bored with Melissa and Alper and Berezhik, even the aunt and Zeynep and the mother and Aunt Aliyeh. Oh, I didn't like any of that. Adil and Batu, I liked. But the side characters that are supposed to give new life and bring some depth and dimension to the show, they fell very flat for me.
Because that's the thing, the show Adamasali, it means island tale. It is a story of the island, but yeah, at the same time, there were so many side characters that got a lot of screen time, which was interesting at first because they all fed into the heart of the story and the island being its own character with all these residents. That was great. But yeah, the way some of those storylines evolved and went off, and they suddenly tried to make certain plot points a major part of the story, where it would have been better to maybe separate them more as B storylines. Like that love triangle, it was so odd, and it was weird too because they didn't commit one way or the other at first. Because when it first started, I was like, okay, we have Alper and Melissa, their childhood loves, or at least Melissa's been in love with him since childhood. Mm-hmm. So Birgit coming in is a catalyst to get them together. I was like, all right, that's a plot. That's great. And then it's like, actually, this is Birgit love story. She found someone. You're like, that doesn't make as much sense, but sure, you've committed. And suddenly they're like, actually, they're not compatible, which is true.
They're not, yeah.
But the writing didn't set that up. And then it brought it back to Alper and Melissa, but it's a cheating plot with Alper being together with Birgit, yep, but having Melissa be the one he loves, and then he's cowardly about sorting it out. That was a mess. And I understand the show was trying to give us intrigue outside of the main characters, but I disagree with that as a concept. And it made it a whole Birgit versus Melissa, which, yeah, again, why are we pitting these two women against each other for this objectively kind of bland guy?
Very bland.
He was a great support character for Poiraz. I loved him in that best friend role. But yeah, that whole plot line was pretty weird.
I didn't sense any chemistry with Melissa or Berezhik. That fell very flat for me. As someone who loves relationships on these shows, I just kind of cringed through all of those scenes. I didn't feel strongly about him with any of them. Even once Melissa and Alper got married, I was like, meh.
Yeah, if we'd spent a little less time with them and not had such a convoluted way of getting together, where you could totally tell there were different agendas depending on the writers or however the episodes were suddenly planned to go. Yeah, not great work in my opinion, in our opinion, I guess.
Yeah, and then the whole storyline of Berezhik, I expected her to end the show going home. You know, we talked about how we appreciated that Haziran didn't fall into that trope of, oh, I'm a city girl on this island, this is gross, this is too quaint. She didn't do that. She respected the island and the traditions and her heritage there. But Berezhik did fall into that at first. She really was that spoiled city girl who kind of came to the island just to support Haziran, but then she stays on the island and she opens a shop and the shop's not even successful. Like, girl, why are you on the island?
Again, yeah, I was thinking that for so long. Why is she still here? Because like you said, she was a great anchor for Haziran to city life.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that she was living off her dad's money. She was just kind of like, oh, I don't have to work this summer. I'll come along. I'll have an adventure.
Yep.
I'll be the supportive girlfriend, but also want to have a little summer fling that turns into whatever that triangle mess was. And she's with Gorkem for a bit. They have their little pool parties. She functioned really well as a character and was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for the longest time, why was she still there? I understand for plot reasons and the actor's contract and the story, they want to keep her there. But there were so many other ways we could have had her making plans for when she got back to the city. Maybe we had a city boyfriend come to her and then she could have a fling that would take her back to Istanbul.
Right.
There were so many other ways that could have gone down.
Or at the very least, give her a store that's super successful and give her a reason to stay. But they didn't even do that. Like, I don't know, I felt bad for her almost at the end.
Oh yeah, totally. Because the actress did a great job with what she was given, but it was so inconsistent.
She did, and she's a pretty girl. And they also paired her once again, towards the end, with an actor that I didn't feel any chemistry with. I honestly did not even remember his name. Like, he's so forgettable to me.
That's something else that, in my opinion, this show did poorly, was their introduction of new characters into the story. That is something I actually quite enjoy about Turkish shows with a planned out plot where an integral character might pop in at episode 6 and suddenly be very prominent and you think, how did we not function without them? In this show, I think partially it was the writer handoffs, but I don't think most of them were done that skillfully. Like Batu, for instance, I am so conflicted about that character because he was a character that was set up. We're like, ooh, is it maybe Haziran's ex? He's a guy from the city. Berecik's kind of like, hey, can you give Haziran a job in the city because she's unhappy here? We had all of this interest. And I think the episode he came on was when the first main writer transition happened, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And the character that was Batu that came on, I very strongly suspect that he is not the character that was set up.
Yeah.
I think what they did with him was interesting and the actor did a great job of embodying the writing. It was very interesting because he was a villain for a bit, but also he was a child of trauma and his mental health definitely suffered at the hands of his mobster father. And that was an interesting story, but the way he had been set up until he appeared, it took me so long to get over the dissonance of those two characters.
It did, because he's introduced as an antagonist without rationale. I mean, I thought at first he actually liked Haziran, and that's why he was trying to keep them apart, because to me at least, that gives him a motive. But then he's like, I just like playing games. And I'm like, you have to have a reason. No one's this bored. And then I think it explains a little bit with his backstory and when his dad came on. And I think for me, that's when things started to change. It took Adil off of Poyraz and Haziran for a little bit, and I liked that. I really liked the two damaged people in Adil and Batu and how they kind of started to connect. I don't know. For me, it was interesting. I enjoyed watching it. It wasn't as bland and boring as Melissa, Alper, and Berecik. So I took it.
Once it was off the ground and they were doing something, I was like, all right, I can get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't what I expected.
Because he was evil for so long, right?
Yeah. And part of me was waiting for him to actually be in love with Haziran. And I thought that would have been interesting. I mean, it's very tropey and typical of the rom-com plot,
right,
of like the ex comes back to make the new person jealous. And I was like, cool, I'm down with that.
Right.
And then when he wasn't, that was also interesting because it was nice from the very beginning that Haziran had no interest in him. She's like, yeah, we were set up once. It didn't work. He's a weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was also another fascinating element.
One thing I did not like was how Zeynep was supportive of Batu.
Yeah, she calls him up. She's like, I need you to break up my daughter who is happy.
What?
And send her back to a place where I ignored her and she was unhappy, but she had a career that she was hiding in and that's better for her. And I, as her mom, who haven't really been here for her, believe it's my job to do this. What?
Yeah, I will never support Zeynep because of this. Like, Zeynep is a bad character. She's a bad mom. And I think that everyone needs to be reminded of this.
She was a bad mom. And I wish that they leaned into that. Her arc is also interesting in that I understand they needed to get her to the island and she's like suddenly married to the mayor who's suddenly her old love. And you're like, I guess. I mean, I'm glad they just kind of got married and got over it because I didn't want any more backstory about them.
Mm.
But I think she informed Haziran as a character really well. But yeah, in the last third of the show when she's flip-flopping back and forth of like, I'm super supportive, whatever my daughter wants. And it's also like, actually, I want my daughter to not be with the one person that makes her happy. But also, I'm going to be the best mom to Adil somehow.
Yeah, it missed the mark there. It really did.
We don't have to talk about them a ton, but I want to bring up Poyraz's parents. This is a peeve of mine, and I know this is not shared with everyone, but I don't love in shows where they have these long-lost characters that they bring back.
Yeah.
Unless you can tell that it's set up from the beginning that they will, I'm happy happy to leave them in the past. Like, Poyraz's mom, he had his trauma around that. He had his grandma. It was a nice dichotomy because Poyraz was raised by a woman that held on to him too tightly, and Haziran was raised by a woman who left her to her own devices in her own grief, and that was an amazing setup.
Yeah.
But then suddenly the mom, and clearly it was, they're like, what can the plot be now? We'll focus on Poyraz's past. And I'm like, I don't want that, but fine. But then the mom comes back for a second, and she has her backstory. Again, I don't really care. But then also, we add to that backstory that Poyraz was violent, and he was in juvie as a child, and he's uncontrollable, but he's been fixed now. That was clearly not the plan. And the writer's like, yeah, actually, this is what happened. I disagree. I found that not part of a character.
It was very messy.
It was very messy. And then it was kind of short because he's like, I have a temper tantrum. I have anger issues for 5 seconds. Everyone on the island knows and just hasn't mentioned it. And you're like, all right. And then they take it one step farther and they're like, hey, remember your dad who died tragically in a boat accident? You know, your grandma's son? You know, that whole pillar of your character? By the way, he wasn't your dad. It was this crazy man.
Who then comes to kidnap you.
Yeah, he kidnaps Haziran. Again, rom-com. Mm. I get we need to have a conflict. No, that was so weird. And then he dies, right?
He does.
I forget what happens. Doesn't he die?
I think he gets...
Does he get shot?
Does he shoot himself? He shoots himself, I think.
See, I don't even remember.
I'm not going to lie. I actually enjoyed the kidnapping episode. I thought it was going to take 20 minutes of the show, but they really leaned into it. And then Batu and Adil got stuck. And I don't know. I agree with everything that you've said. And I don't support the fact that they had his dad come back. But I, for whatever reason, enjoyed that episode.
That's fine. And again, it's not that it was badly done necessarily, but it was from a different show.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that I've set myself up for failure loving DZ so much, but I think endings and stories are just as important as the beginnings. I want a show that I know will end. I want the end to feel planned. I would rather have a shorter show that's good with a payoff,
yep,
than a long show that strings itself along just so there's fan service scenes of my favorite characters. And I understand the people who do want that, who just want the characters, who don't want it to be that deep. That is fine. But with a show like this that was pretty low stakes as far as being a romantic show, mm-hmm, all of this other stuff, it was clear they didn't quite have a long-term plan.
Yep.
But instead of taking a second to say, all right, what can we do for maybe 10 episodes?
Right.
They were just like, we're gonna think one step at a time. And then again, there was another writer handoff. I don't want to say it was upsetting because this isn't my number one show or anything, but it could have been better. And I think that's what's a little disappointing, is that,
yeah,
so much happened that was good and that had me excited. And then it just ended. And I was like, all right, I can move on with my life.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you called it disappointing, because it was such a good show when it started. It had real promise. And the first 10, 13 episodes-ish are really good and they're entertaining. And as the show went on, I paused watching it because I thought to myself, I'm getting a little bored with it. Maybe it'll be better as a binge. And very easily was able to stop watching it. And then when I picked it back up again, I still just wasn't that into it. And I think it's because of what you talked about, Maya, in that the writers didn't have a coherent path forward. They opened up a lot of plot threads and then never pulled on any specific one. They just flew by the seat of their pants and kept moving on, but never really tying up other storylines. Like, if you're going to go all in on Poyraz's anger issues, go all in on it then. Let's talk about it. Let's dive deep into that. They did an episode or two about it and then moved on. And then they found a way to bring Haziran back to the island. She's now going to stay. They meet this abandoned baby, and then they spend 2 episodes helping the mother. And it felt very disconnected. I really was bored by it, if I'm being totally honest. Like, the last few episodes were very boring to me. And it's sad because it wasn't bad. It's just not something that I'll watch again.
Yeah.
It just lasted a little too long.
It lasted too long only because it dove into the wrong aspects of it, because it could have been 25 episodes or more if they deepened other elements of the story. It's just they made the wrong choices.
Mm.
And again, I didn't write this show. It's not me. So I can sit here and say whatever I want and be like, yeah, well, I should have done this. But at the same time, like you said, they had all of these amazing threads that they started, and then they would tie them up too fast or leave them hanging and we never see them again.
And then the supporting characters just aren't strong enough. For such a big supporting cast, none of them really are strong enough to hold the storyline. So they're not really able to add value. I personally don't find Melissa, Alper, or Berejik's side stories that interesting, you know?
Well, that's the other thing. There wasn't any long-term B plot either. Every episode, suddenly you would be like, oh, well, there's gonna be a fair in town for a fundraiser. And you're like, okay, this came out of nowhere. I get every episode needs to have a crux, but it would just be, we're gonna bring the gang together. And you're like, okay, they're together now. And then by the end of the episode, whatever that would be resolved. And again, we have a dozen other characters floating around that need something to do.
Yeah. And then they had that storyline where Zeynep gets sick. I don't even know. Did they ever even say what she thought she might have?
Yes.
It was really oddly done. I did not enjoy that at all.
No, because I think they said that she may have had Crohn's disease.
That's right, yeah.
I'm also curious to know if they knew that the show was ending when they wrote that, because again, that was a potential long-term arc if you needed it to be.
Yep.
And it was kind of a contrived way to keep Poyraz and Hazirun from having a wedding, because Hazirun wants her mom to be well, to be there. It's too late in the plot for that to be compelling at this point, just because there have been so many contrived reasons to keep the two of them apart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that arc rushed in.
Right.
And we're like, all right, are we doing this? And then she's like, actually, the medication worked. You can get married now.
Right.
And that was how that resolved. So yeah, I agree. That was super weird.
Really weird.
And then I don't want to spend a ton of time on them because I don't think they deserve it. But Sadek's sister and nephew for like 3 episodes? No thanks.
I'm laughing because I messaged Maya while I was watching this. And I was like, I'm not going to lie. I honestly think Sadek's sister is maybe the worst side character I've ever seen in any Turkish Dizzy. She comes in and she really just leans into this angry woman trope.
But with the silly comedy.
I don't even know why she's so angry. It was awful. I've never hit the fast forward button so much as I did when she was on. I had no time or patience for her. Like, you are a waste of my time. Get off my screen.
Yeah, she was quite annoying. And then the nephew, we're supposed to believe that kid is 18. Sure.
I know.
He looked like he was 28 at least.
And also, Nahir's very pretty. I'm not sure who the actress is, but I can picture her having success doing other Turkish Dizzies.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good actress. She's very pretty. Okan's not attractive. Like, really? You can't give this poor girl a handsome co-star? I feel the same way with Berezhik because I did not find Beyazit on her level.
Well, Beyazit was also the worst. He was controlling and weird. I was waiting for them to break up at the end. I was waiting for Beyazit to be like, I tried this fling, I deserve better. Like, that's what made sense to me. And then no, he's just there. When he was introduced, not gonna lie, like, I know it's a Turk show. I was like, I don't get straight vibes from this man.
Mm.
And then they're like, actually, he's
the love interest for this beautiful actress. Like, okay. Really props to Aicha for having the only attractive male on the show as her love interest. I'm a horrible person. Seriously, though, you couldn't have found someone a little more suitable for Nahir. I just disagree with that.
She had Birajik's brother for that short arc, but then his contract ended, so they wrote him out of the show. I mean, I also enjoyed for most of it that she didn't have a romantic lead.
True.
I liked having the angle of the teenager in the adult world, because I'm pretty tired of high school type shows, so it was nice to have a teenage character who, you know, she has Hazirun as an older sister figure, cousin to look up to. Yep. She has Poyraz, who's like an older brother, and takes care of her. She's coming into her own. She's gonna leave for college. I thought that was an amazing use of a character in general, but also in this setting.
She definitely didn't need it.
She didn't need it. She could have had a love interest, a different one.
Yes.
But she also could have not, and I think that would have been equally as valuable.
You make a great point. She definitely didn't need it, but they gave her one, and they gave her, in my opinion, an unsuitable one.
Some 30-year-old child, like, okay.
Oh my goodness. All right, so to kind of put some closure on this, I want to ask you, how do you feel about the show ending with Poyraz and Hazirun deciding to leave the island?
I disagree. Part of it is, for how the story was set up, how the two of them were set up, that doesn't make sense to me. I think Istanbul should have been covered. I think it would have been great in episode 12 or 13 or, you know, somewhere earlier. I think we should have followed through on Poyraz having fears and traumas around Istanbul because of being abandoned by his mom. I think the mom should have never come back, because that's a very realistic thought of something you're afraid of builds up inside you for years and years and years and becomes something you can't overcome. I think it would have been amazing if there was an episode where he and Hazirun were in Istanbul and she has to go back for whatever reason, he comes with her, or even if Hazirun went back to Istanbul instead of Izmir, because again, that was really dumb. And I get it was probably for location reasons for filming, just because their set is closer to Izmir, but the show set up so early on Poyraz never going to Istanbul.
Yeah.
So if they had covered that earlier on, conquered his fear, and I think it would have also been really powerful to see Hazaran. They kind of covered it in the Izmir episodes, but she's not the city girl she thought she was, or the island has loosened her in a way. She's come more into herself, and it would have been great to see how she was less compatible with her own city.
Yep.
Then we get to the end of the story. I think they should have stayed. Maybe they got their own house. Maybe Alia Teze moved somewhere else. I don't know if they would all live together. I think that wouldn't be a fresh enough start, because I do think they need a fresh start if we're going to end right after their marriage. But there were so many ways, like the hotel could have expanded in a way, because they won a hotel award, so they're not unknown.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been a way where maybe there's international interest, or just Hazaran has to travel to the city every 2 months, or maybe they'll go together and that's their trade-off. Because again, it wouldn't have felt like Poyraz was limiting Hazaran's life. She had that life. And she wanted to go to Tokyo as an escape. It's not like he crushed her dreams in any way. Like, there are some shows where one person stays for the other, and you're like, I don't feel like that's super equal. This one, I think it could have worked really well, because Hazaran found herself on the island, so this was a place for her to be.
Right.
So I think a lot of it should have been different, because they set it up to be different and really good, and then they made flippant choices about what actually happened.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I always stated that one of the annoyances for me, that the premise of the show was Poyraz and Hazaran were going to run a hotel together. That was the start of her trying to make him smile to be nice to guests so they would have a successful establishment. And it just seems like they forgot that they were running a hotel during the last half of the show. I would have loved to have seen them stay on the island, run the hotel, bring the business back. But instead, they decided to leave this island that they both loved and defended and supported. It doesn't feel right to me. It didn't feel organic.
No. Carol, there are just so many things that could have been different.
I know. I agree. I think we're on the same page here.
Because even just Poyraz's relationship, I think also part of where the show fell apart was once they got together and they're like, wait, we don't know what to do with them together. So then we break them up again and all the progress almost goes backward.
It's just such a shame because, like you kind of touched upon, a great episode would have been the two of them going to Istanbul as a couple, him seeing how out of her league he feels because she's the city girl and she feels like she's no longer the same city girl, but he sees her as a city girl and he pulls away. Like, there's so much they could have done with that and they just didn't.
Yeah. And then they held off on getting them married until the finale. And then it felt like a footnote to the finale.
Yeah.
Suddenly Neher's dad was back again. Don't like when they bring back random characters.
Hated it. Did not like that. And then when she was like, I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm like, girl, you got a scholarship to London.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts. I don't want to drag it out. But my main opinion is that I'm disappointed in how the show ended because it started off really strong. It had a lot of potential. And I'm so proud of Aicha and Alp and what they did because I think they carried the show. They did such a great job creating Poyraz and Hazaran, and a couple that I will remember.
I agree. They just seem to genuinely have a good time making it behind the scenes.
Yeah. Which I think helps.
So much. I don't know. It was a summer show. It was meant to feel good, and it's nice to watch a feel-good thing that seems to have felt good to make.
Yeah.
I guess just as a conclusion to all of this, Adam Masala was a lovely summer show that ended up being a bit forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disappointing as someone who was a fan of the show. I know we've said a lot of negative things about the show, but I think the reason we have so many thoughts about this is because we did love it for what it was and for what it had the potential to be.
Yeah.
We want our actors and our stories to succeed, and I don't know how this is going to stand the test of time because it's got a great start and then it just fizzles out. So I'd be curious to see, you know, next year or in a few months, if I see people on Twitter or something talk about starting this show, I don't know. I hope that they can still get something out of it.
No, I agree. Seeing how the show turned out, I don't know if it's something I could recommend. I know there's a lot of shows, Maya, that when we first became friends and we started talking, I used to ask you for show recommendations. A lot of them, you'd be like, all right, well, I want you to watch the show, but stop after episode 10.
I stand by that, okay?
There's more than a few where I have in my notes, stop after episode 13 or there's two that I'm thinking of and I won't say which ones they are, but there's two in particular.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know that makes me sound controlling and extra and dramatic, but I stand by my thoughts.
But I think that's what I would recommend with Adam Masala. I think if I were to recommend this show to someone, I would say it's really good for about 10 to 13 episodes. After that, you can maybe just watch the finale and see how it ends. And I know there's a lot of fans of Ada Masala that are listening to this. At least we hope that there are. Please don't forget, Maya and I are fans of the show too. We did love it. I just think it's important to point out that it's not a perfect show. And like I've said in other episodes of our podcast, that being fans of a show is a privilege and not a right that these shows have. We choose to watch these shows. We give a lot of time to these shows. And I think that these shows have an obligation to create good content that we want to watch. And if they don't, then we reserve the right to criticize, which we've done here. But all in all, it's because we loved the show so much when it started that made us sad that it ended the way that it did. But it did end. It is over. And I'm glad I watched it all in all, because I think the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that, because it was a lovely distraction this summer. And I truly wish the actors and the team all the best. I'm very excited to see what Alp and Aisha do next.
Definitely.
It'd be very interesting to see them in a different show, maybe in a different genre.
Yep.
I know people have fan cast them in like a mafia show, which would be so cool.
Ooh, I'd watch that.
So we'll see how that plays out. But I think other than that, this has been our episode of Ada Masala.
We hope that you guys enjoyed our rants and our discussion about it. Please reach out to us. Let us know if you have any thoughts, suggestions, corrections, or any other messages you want to talk to us about. You can always email us at dizzybreakdownpod@gmail.com. And the show's Instagram and Twitter handles are both at dizzybreakdown. And for our personal Twitters, you can find me at Caro Gables.
And you can find me at The Scorpio Races. And also, if you guys feel like it, if you go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us, and Spotify now has a way you can rate in the app for podcasts, and that helps with the algorithm somehow of making us easier to find for new listeners. So
yeah, until next time, thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye.